Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. Before we get started, let's get some business out of the way. Check this out, Working Class Bowhunter Podcast, always brought to you by Scent Crusher. Brought to you by, what's the difference?
Presented.
Nah, whatever. Well, let's just
professionals.
Okay. Well, let's just eliminate all that, like Scent Crusher eliminates odors. Guys, they've got a whole line of products that will help you eliminate your odors during this deer season, whether it be the Ozone Go Max. And for your, I mean, if you got a bigger vehicle, SUV, you need this. The Scent Crusher tote bag, which I have. My big ass clothes fit tote in bag. Here. Huh?
Tote bag?
Roller bag. A roller bag? What did I say? A tote bag?
Yeah.
it's like a little shoulder strap. Dude, the closet is what you need for them off seasons to store all your hunting clothes so your significant other isn't always
crabbing at you.
It's like, I bought this house. Let me have this little space in my own house. So get that. Check out the closet. Scent Crusher. Always a plus. Get that stinky shit out of your life. HHA Sports. Single pin sights are the best thing that has ever happened to bow hunting. It'll clear up your sight picture. Look, you're making more accurate shots. I've killed two deer, and if I've killed two deer with an HHA, you can kill probably like 400 deer. So
don't do that.
As long as it's legal, I'm just saying, have the ability to. You could potentially kill that many deer because you're shooting a single pin. HHASports.com. Everything's basically made in Wisconsin, just like these nasty ass cheese curds that are in front of me. But thank you for the fan who sent them in,
Tony. Big shout out to Tony.
Big shout out to Big Tony. Yeah, you guys
best
are munching
cheese curds
them up.
Ever.
Send some meat down next time. But
he did already.
Tony. Oh, did he?
Yeah. it's not his fault that you suck at liking cheese.
I guess it is not his fault. Thank you so much, Tony. Also, Elite Archery. The rituals have been putting work in. And, hey, man, you slap our logo on something and it's money. And they've been coming through. The Elite Ritual is shooting very nice. And if you're like, oh, I wish I had a more compact bow. Boom, bitch. Ritual 30 right there for your ass. Go to your local bow shop right now. They're going to be there. You can shoot them. And they're so easy to tune that if you want to be that guy to mid-November, make a bow switch, you can. The Ritual 30 is that tunable. So go ahead and check it out, elitearchery.com. I don't know what else I need to tell you guys.
That's the best Elite plug I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Keep going. Well, tell us a little bit about Big Tine and why it's noteworthy this month especially.
Big Tine, not only do you need to download that app, you should have already planted some Buck Brunch food plots. They have the best food plots on the market. Plus, if your state allows it, which, I mean, they probably don't allow 400 deer to get shot.
No.
But if you want to bring deer to your property and you want to check out what's going on,
keep them
do
healthy.
The 30-06, yeah. The mineral supplement. It's unlike anything else that's out there. These guys know how much protein deer need to get full potential. They're not giving them anything they don't need, and they're giving them everything they want. So check out Big Tine. Buy all the products that you can and download that app because this podcast, Working Class Bowhunter Podcast, is the spotlight of the month of November. So it's a very it's a big honor for us to every time you pull up that app, you're going to see us. And you can also scroll past us if you don't like us. I don't know why you're listening, but you can check out other people like the Lindsay Way.
The Virtue.
Mm-hmm. All these other guys. And, you know, all our episodes are going to be on there. Our Carbon TV episodes, a couple of them will be all of our audio podcasts will be there on that Big Tine app. Plus, you can be able to buy, you know, any of the Big Tine gear on there. So check that out. We're super thankful that they decided to do that. We don't know why. Maybe Joe just likes us. I don't know. But
also, quick, big shout out. This episode is also brought to you by Loker Taxidermy, and I can't remember where. Loudon Loader. Loudon, Iowa. I was there the other day. I dropped off my buck. It's if you're in Davenport, it's 20 miles west of like Eldridge. I don't know how that makes sense, but it's in Iowa.
All right.
Julian's a great dude, great taxidermist, super passionate about deer and deer hunting and taxidermy. So yep. That's really cool. So big shout out to him, and super thankful for how he helped us out. Our new Carbon episode's up. It's called Hunting Memories. Check it out, carbontb.com. I hope you guys like that. No guests. We just kind of talk about kind of the history of our bow hunting. And you got a veteran shout out? Or do you want to do it after the intro?
Let's do it after the intro.
All right. Hope you guys
enjoy.
Keep
it classic.
I'm Chase Rolfson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right, this is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
Hey, this is Jules McQueen, and you are listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
It's really, really not that good.
It is episode number 254 of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We are right here at 1600 Buckslayer Place, beautiful Buckatorium, lovely Sherrard, Illinois. For all you out of towners, it's Illinois. But yeah, zip code undetermined. Never gonna remember it. I am Steve in the studio with Kurt.
Hey,
what's your house? Tank intern Tank.
Yep, I'm here.
Hey, what's up, beautiful?
Hi.
And hi. Papa Dave.
How you doing?
Oh man, you got your hat backwards. You mean business, dude?
You better watch your ass. He's gonna beat the fuck out of you if you make a fast move.
Yeah,
Papa Dave's sitting next to Steve, so I'm keeping a close eye.
Yeah, Kurt's monitoring the situation. Do you look like a fucking bouncer right now? Your arms are crossed. You're like, you're not relaxed, dude. You're worried about me and Papa Dave getting into fisticuffs right now.
I would not have to worry about that. My dad would beat your ass.
Are you just patiently waiting then?
He's worried about pulling out his phone fast enough.
Yeah.
Hold on, don't want dad. Yeah, shit, let me get it on sideways.
World star.
You got a veteran shout out before we get going in the episode?
Yeah, let's get that. Going here. Hey, the vet shout out this week. I'm going to shout out an organization because we can do that. It's our podcast. And I feel like this organization is worth it. So, Oath Inc., they are on Instagram. Just look up Oath Inc. These are the guys that got linked up with. There was a trade show down in Dallas, and I apologize, I forgot the name, but like Philip Vanderpool got his head shaved, Larry McCoy got his head shaved. Mm-hmm. These guys are basically out there, you know, just they love the outdoors, and they're an organization that's really trying to stop, you know, if you look at what they're about on Instagram, they're tired of burying brothers due to suicide. So they're one of the organizations that's trying to help all of our vets that go to war and come back and have, you know, deal with PTSD, and that 22 vets a day number, they're trying to get that down to the number of zero. And unfortunately, we can't get any of those guys back. But moving forward, you know, let's make that number zero. Let's figure out how we got to do that. So go support Oath Inc. Those guys are out there doing some awesome stuff. Go give them some love on Instagram. And man, that's the vet shout out this way, or the military shout out, I should say, this week.
Cool. Thank you for that, Steve. Man, where do we start? It's another episode. We're well into November now. And
yeah, we're well into November. You are done hunting, aren't you?
It feels so weird, man. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm at work, and I have the feeling of, like, oh, I got to get after it again. But then I'm like, oh, I can't.
You're done hunting. You were done hunting before the rut really hit.
Yeah. I mean, I can still kill a doe. I have a doe tag still.
Are you?
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I don't.
Just to get a little taste.
I'm going to wait, I think, till like, December.
I think so. Yeah. You're going to look at the temperature like, eh, fuck that.
No, I won't. The thing is, like, I've shot a doe and I got $2, so I don't need. It's not like I'm hurting for meat.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I don't want to go out now and, like, and shoot a doe on the lease. You know what I mean?
When it's rut.
Yeah, when it's rut. Yeah, and then, like, my dad's still chasing.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm not going to go there and shoot a hot doe.
Yeah, for sure.
Or something, you know what I mean? So I'm kind of just going to enjoy it. I won't ever get to kick back and enjoy the weather.
But what if you knew you weren't going to get that lease again? Would you go there and shoot a hot doe?
No.
No, that's not really the point. Ruin it.
It's a joke. I know you're not going to ruin it for the next guy. But so you did get a really, really good buck down.
Yeah, it was. By the time we're recording this, so we just recorded in podcast land for listeners out there. We just recorded Steve's first buck episode, which was last week's episode. And then we're all here, and it's hunting camp. It's a Thursday night. We got Friday off. So I killed my buck still the same week, really. I shot him on Sunday night. So I guess I shot my first buck this year on the 20th, an 8-point.
Uh-huh.
It was a Saturday morning. And then I shot my second buck. In Illinois, you're allowed 2 bucks with a bow, for the record, either sex tag. And
some confusion there.
There has been some confusion. But, yeah, Illinois is a 2-buck state for residents with a bow. And I'd kill one with a bow and one with a gun, too, if I wanted, but I don't gun hunt anymore. So I killed my second buck on Sunday afternoon, this last Sunday.
So you went Saturday morning, Sunday afternoon. Not, like, back-to-back, but that's how you did
kills,
it this
buck
season.
Kills,
yeah.
Yes, I killed one on a Saturday morning. I killed one on a Sunday afternoon, which would have been Sunday was the 4th, I believe.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Sunday was the November 4th, 2018.
Yep. Yeah. A week before your rutcation started.
Yeah. It was on Waylon's birthday.
Yeah, on Tank's son's birthday. So.
Yeah. Way to go. Well, that's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
What happened? Like, it's been raining like crazy this season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it has been. It seems like it's all it has done is rain. We've had one good weekend, which was the weekend I killed my buck, October 20th. That was a dry weekend.
If it's not raining, it's windy as shit.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. But we've had cold weather in October.
It's been awesome. We can't complain.
The temperatures have been good. Yeah. Opening weekend always sucks. We know that's nothing new. Like, we're like, oh, it's hot. Ugh, bleh. Yeah. Everyone complains.
Yeah, but the second week, it seemed like that cold front came in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Was it second or third week? It would have been second week, right?
Second, yep.
Mm-hmm. Wait, because that third week, though, was slamming. Because that was the week you were like, yeah, everybody needs to be out here.
Yeah, but the weekend I killed my first buck this season wasn't that. It wasn't like it was cold.
No. It was about average. What we're used to is like 70-degree days. The past couple seasons feels like it's been hot in October.
Yeah. Some 80-degree days. And we got lucky with some cooler temperatures and everything.
Definitely
like
some awesome cold fronts that came through.
It's been good. Like, I've been fat for like most of all of my deer hunting career, but it's like it's just nice that couple of these days, you know, a couple of the early days was like, all right, sweet, I'm not sweating. There's no, dude, the bugs have not been a factor this year.
Maybe that first day.
I would say opening day, I had my
it was like
my
a Monday or Tuesday. That was working second shift, so I wasn't
was
able
Monday.
To get out.
I would say that was when you killed your coyote.
Yeah, I killed a coyote my first day out.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. The ritual's been eating them up. Killed a coyote my first day out, and then like the October 6th or 7th, I shot a doe. Then October 20th, I shot my first buck this year. Good 8-pointer. I'm doing a European mount on that one, for the record, for people that are curious. What are you doing? Now I'm doing a nice skull mount on him. I think he'll look really awesome. Good, probably low 130s as an 8, 130 as an 8-pointer, I'm thinking. Yep. He's going to look real good on the wall. And then, so, I killed that buck. I was super excited. And I'm just got another buck tag, so back on the grind. Killed one. When you kill one early like that, you're like, okay, I have an opportunity to buck out,
right?
Which is cool. And because you know the best hunting is yet to come. You know, you got better hunting on the way. So this I got a stand. I end up hanging a stand in a spot that's only good on a south wind.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed I hung a camera there at the same spot, and I noticed that deer are only there, a cell cam, deer are only there on south winds. They don't move in there on north winds. Reason being, there's a hard ridge there with some ravines, and it's like a terrain feature that pinches them in around a creek. And that's beneficial because on the south wind, they go in there, they smell everything that could be a danger to them of where they're going or what can get to them that they can't see.
Well, yep. Not everything.
Everything to the north of, but what they think, which is good.
Yeah.
Everything to the north of them is like, it's like a hard bluff. And for something to get to them, it'd have to go through the creek and then up a bluff.
Yep.
So it's kind of one of those things I overlooked, and then I found it, and I'm like, oh, shit, this looks like a really good spot. So what happened is I hung this stand, and I put a cell cam up, and then in the south wind, I should have stuck with my game plan. And last year I talked about this on my season. Like, I let my indecisiveness and my just anxiety and kind of like a little bit of bow hunting drive where I need to be everywhere I can as much as possible. And I didn't go to that spot. And I went to another spot, which is still a good spot. I saw an okay 8-pointer. I think he was an old buck, just not a big rack on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I checked my cell cam about 5:30. I got a good buck on camera that goes right by where I hung that stand. And I'm like, I was like really bothered by it. Like, I was like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Remember that? I called you. I'm like, God damn it. I called my dad.
Yeah.
God damn it. Why did I not just stick with my game plan? I didn't stick with my game plan. If I did, I'd be sitting behind that buck.
So this was, what day was it?
Last Saturday night. It would have been the third.
Okay. Yeah. Because I'm trying to put the pieces together as you're telling. Continue.
Yeah. So it's Saturday the third. I'm on my way home. I'm like, damn it. Why did I not just stick with my game plan? And that's something you just need to do, especially the south wind. I was like, fine, that stand's still there. Every south wind, I'm sitting there because that's going to be a good spot. Like, I had the game plan. I just didn't listen to myself.
Uh-huh.
Like, I had it laid out.
Everybody does it.
But I think I'm worse. I'm bad with it. I am really bad. You even said that, Dad. You're like, you are bad at that. Like, you don't stick to your fucking game plan.
Yeah.
And I know that's, like, my flaw, but I'm working on it.
You're
right?
Like, yeah, dude, I hung the stands great. But then you're like, I hunted that stand. I fucking moved that stand.
but I hunted that stand Saturday morning and didn't see a thing. So you get out and you're like, well, I'm going to switch it up. So I sat somewhere else in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just try to, like, freshen yourself up, freshen the scenery, freshen where you go. Don't overpressure a spot. You know the whole deal. So I did that. Went to another spot. Well, then it starts raining Saturday night. And we come back to my house, and we had like a little preview party for our latest carbon episode. Yep. All the boys were over, and I'm showing everyone that trail cam picture, and I was like, all right, I'm going to – big shout-out Austin Chandler. He's the man. He's like, hey, it's supposed to rain all day, all morning, all night, all morning, sleep in, and maybe going after that deer. I was kind of going with the gameplay, and that's how I was saying when we were over. I'm like, all right, I'm going to sleep in tomorrow. We stayed up and drank and just had a good time. I'm like, all right, I'm going to sleep it in the morning.
Austin is the, by the way, Austin is the official head coach of Illinois deer hunting.
Yeah, I'll vote him that.
That dude's head coach.
So
how do I go on?
It rains all night, rains in the morning. I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm going to sleep in. It seems like a good plan. Wind's still south variant. It's
southeast.
No, it was southwest-ish, because I remember the way it was blowing. It was the way the creek curved. It was like right on the hard creek curve on the bluff, so it was like absolutely perfect. Excuse me, hold on. I thought I had to sneeze, but I didn't have to.
Did you survive?
Yeah, I made it out.
Say pineapple before you sneeze.
I thought it was a southwest wind. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was. So I go in, I slip in, I knew where the wind was going. I knew this. If this deer was in there, he was going to be bedded. It's like this really long strip of timber that's to the north of me. So I go in. I park my truck along this field. And normally what I would have done was drive my truck along the field around that strip of timber and then parked over there. Like, if a deer's in there, he's not going to get spooked as bad by my truck.
Yep.
But the wind, I knew if I got out there and walked, he'd smell my wind from his bed and maybe not do what he would have done naturally.
Yep.
So I parked way out, got out of my truck. Sprayed down. I'm fresh showered, fresh ozone, fresh sprayed down, And then I'm like, cool. It just gives you that like extra layer of confidence.
You're like, cool.
But you know what I mean, though? It just gives you that like, all right, I feel good. Let's go. I'm like, I had time for to get ready because I didn't hunt in the morning.
Dude, I've been using that that scent crusher, that field spray on like all my musty work clothes. Dude, it works like a fucking charm.
Yeah, so I spray down. Go to hell, Steve. I spray down.
Just saying, dude.
Thank you for that.
That is great.
Pull in. And I'm like way out. I'll get, if you just looked at it, like, why'd you park way the hell over there? Like, that seems unnecessary. But I didn't want him to smell my truck or hear me shut the door. Or like, I didn't want to alter, if the deer was in there, his pattern in any way. So I parked this truck, my truck, over there. I get out, spray down, get everything ready. I go through this muddy-ass cornfield, and it's kind of like a drop down where the timber is. And I cut all the way around, like, excessive a little.
So how long was this walk from your truck? How far away did you park?
A block.
Well, I mean, like yards wise.
I mean, if you had to guess, like how far away from your stand, as a crow flies, I know you walk
half
a different
mile,
way.
Mile, 3/4 mile.
I don't know. I don't really know. It's hard to explain. From where I thought he was bedding, a long way. From where my stand is, as a crow flies. A half mile, maybe a little further.
Okay.
But when you look at it, it's like, well, that's excessive. Why would you walk through there?
But you're just,
I was walking way the hell up from the timber.
You can never be too paranoid.
Yeah. So I did that just thinking, like, hey, my game plan might come together. The deer, no way he could have seen me or smelled me. He was that far away. He was bedded.
All right.
My stand is on this, it's on this ridge between two steep draws. And so what I did is I got in there, everything's wet. So, because it's rained. It just did nothing but rain. Everything's saturated. Nothing's crunching. So I'm like, just go in and be quiet as fuck. Like, take your time.
Yep.
Look around. Don't just walk into the stand to get to your stand and get in the tree because you feel like you just need to get in there. So I took my time. And once I hit the timber, I don't know how far that ridge is. Maybe 80 yards from the timber line to where my stand is on that creek edge. And I probably took 25, 30 minutes to get in there, just really quiet.
Yep.
Because it's not going to hurt nothing.
No.
Wind was pretty damn good. So I got in there, get in my stand, and I'm sitting in there. I got my rattle on it, there's all that shit. And my wind's good. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, well, I want to call because I know that buck's in there. I'm like, thinking about rattling. I'm like, no, don't rattle. Like, what are you doing? Like, I like literally was like talking shit self into my into myself. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Like,
don't rattle for 3.5 hours, whoever hunts the property next to me.
Yeah. let's talk about that after my story.
Shit.
So, like, I'm sitting in the tree, like, I want to rattle, right? It's that time of year. I'm like, I have the urge to rattle. But I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, don't rattle.
Yeah.
Because if he's in here, if he's not feeling that, you're going to alter, like, way he might naturally move.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm sitting there going...
Well, you know he's going through there.
You've
got pictures.
Well, the thing is, like, it's rare that a big buck does that twice. So I was like, he just did it at random. He's not going to do it again. So I go in there, and I'm like, don't rattle, because if you do, he might be like, fuck that. That's bullshit. I'm going to go this way.
He's like, I've been down there, you know, before.
And I didn't want to grunt. I felt like it. I really wanted to. And I expected to come up on the ridge on that knoll, and I was north of that ridge where I thought he'd be. So... I'm sitting there, I don't know, 45 minutes or so, and I hear like a big crack, like someone just like threw a log down. And I look out to my right, how my stand would have been, like to my northwest, which is north, so he's good. Eventually he would be downwind. I look down and I see a buck standing down there in the bottom, and he's like jacking around with his antlers on something. I don't know if he snapped a branch and that's what I heard, or he like kicked up a log or something, but it was loud. And I look down and I see this big body buck standing down this bottom. And I range him, it's 55 yards, and he's wide open. And I'm like, man, I could shoot him. Like, I don't know what he's going to do. He hasn't made it to the creek yet where the creek isn't funneling him to where what I want him to do. Like, at this point, he could do anything.
Can you not tell how big he is yet?
I'm looking at him through my rangefinder. I'm like, I didn't even think twice about it. I'm like, he's a big deer. And I'm like, I'm almost positive that's the deer I have a picture of.
Oh, fuck. All right. So this is happening quick.
Well, I see this deer. This deer is not moving fast.
Oh, okay, but he's, like when
I'm
you see
watching
him,
him at 55 yards, and I'm going, I rolled my dial to 55, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at him.
That's a lucky number, dude.
Well, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, how nervous am I? And I was pretty calm, but he was just chilling there, and I'm like, he's going to move anyway. I waited a few minutes to see what he'd do, and he just stood there. I'm like, I could shoot him, but don't do it. because nothing goes right shooting at a mature buck at 55 yards.
Nope.
So I'm chilling there, and I'm like, all right. And he stands there and stands there and stands there, watching a buck do buck things. And this might sound weird, but you guys got to hear me out. Most times that people see a buck, unless you've honed in on one like this, he's either feeding somewhere, which is not like in his element. He's doing something. He's feeding, or he's chasing a doe, or he's cruising for a doe. It's very rare, and I think this, like thinking back, this is the first time I've ever just watched a big, mature, like 5.5-year-old do what they do in the woods at their leisure as they're moving.
Yeah. It's kind of wild to think about, yeah.
Because if you think about it, every time that you've shot a big buck or seen a big buck, there's something on their agenda almost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, they're going to do something.
Feeding, chasing a doe, cruising for a doe, making a scrape, like they're... You never see them casually. I'm talking about the average guy. It's rare when you see them casually doing big buck things in their comfort zone.
So I remember, and not to take away from your story, but I remember me and you were watching Midwest Whitetail. It was the season like last year, Bill Winky. And I remember we were sitting there watching, and the video clip that he had was this really big buck just bed down. It was a big buck, and I remember you just going, holy shit.
Yeah, it's like one of those situations.
Like,
so
my inexperience was like, a fucking deer just bedded down. But it was like, you know, just thinking about that, it's like, how often are you ever going to see a big buck?
Well, you don't watch like mature 5.5-year-old deer like in their element do their thing like where they don't know you're there. It's like normally they've already caught you if they're like casual or they're doing whatever. And so... He's doing his thing.
What are you thinking at this point? Are you like, oh, shit, I got him now?
Fuck no. That never once crossed my mind. You don't ever think that. As soon as you think that, you're fucked already.
But you're just like, okay, he's just doing what
he's doing. He's at 55 yards still. He could turn around and go the other way because he thinks he smells me or sees me.
Gotcha.
As soon as you think that, you've already lost a deer. Huh? On a 5.5-year-old buck, you've already lost. To think I've got him now at 55 yards away when he could go anywhere in the timber... is the fucking wrong thing to think, son. So I'm watching him, and I'm like, okay. Well, he moves forward, and you would think, like, now getting into the rut, like, November 4th, he'd be doing, like, ruddy things. Maybe he kind of was. Like, I watched him piss on his tarsal glands.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like he was in a hurry. I watched this buck for 15, 20 minutes. Oof. He walked forward through the brush, and I'm talking, like, he walked 15, 20 yards, and he stood there. And he stood there for 5 minutes each time he'd stop. And he would, like, lick his ass. He'd scratch his back with his rack. He'd, like, look around, maybe mess around with his antlers and his tarsal glands on a limb. Then he'd walk forward a little more. Then he gets to the point where now he's at 40 yards.
Have you ever seen a mature buck do this before?
Like what I said, it's like you never get to watch this.
Yeah, so this is like wild to you. You're like, well, shit.
So a lot of people, I'm like, I remember in my head, I can either let this situation eat me alive and shake me up, or I can use this circumstance to watch this and learn, or I can tell myself, which I did that, or I can be... Like, my inner monologue is like, stay calm. Like, you don't have to freak out. This deer doesn't know you're here. Just chill. My concern was, which is why I thought about shooting him at 55, and then to this point in my story, he's at 40, and I got a pocket at 40. And the reason why I'm considering these shots is because this deer is going downwind of me.
Mm.
But I'm up high, and he's down in the low spot towards the creek. So when he's at 40, he walks forward a little more, and he stops. And when I'm saying, like, he stops, and he's still, just chilling there. And he's looking around, and it's to the point where you ever, like, look at a deer and he stops, and you're looking where he's at, and then the deer, like, disappears, but you know he didn't walk out, and you're, like, trying to adjust your eyes, like, oh, okay, I found him again. Like, that's how still this deer was. So at this point...
They have to know they can do that, though.
Dude, it's amazing.
You know what I mean? They have to know that if they stand super still, they just disappear.
They're just
fucking octopus.
They're just tuned in. Like, a lot of people say, like, does are the smartest things in the woods. Yeah, I agree. To a point. Does are more, like, out in the open aware. Like, I'm smart, bitch. What? Bucks are like, you're not going to know. I'm not going to let you know how smart I am. You know what I mean? Because if I would have spooked this buck, I know he would have slipped out without blowing. I know I wouldn't have known that he jumped. He wouldn't run off with his tail up. He was going to sneak out of there and dip off, and I never would have known. So, like, if I wouldn't have been paying attention, if he wouldn't have made that one big crack, I could have missed this deer altogether. Like, I would maybe not even know he was there. But at he gets to 40 yards, I have a pocket, and I'm like, okay, he's getting ready to cut my wind. I'm scared, but he's in the lower spot to the creek. It's getting to the point where I'm like, is he going to cross the creek right there, or is he going to go to the north and go around the creek where the bend is? I'm like, well, in my head, this is my inner monologue. I'm like, he's not going to go through the creek right there because it's like a hard drop off. That seems like a pain in the ass for him.
Yeah.
And he's getting to the point where he starts turning towards me. So now he's 30 yards, but I can't shoot him. Maybe a little further, coming to me. Mm-hmm. So now I've decided, is he going to go in front of my stand to the right, or am I going to have to spin around the other way of the tree and shoot him, which I have an opening? And that is where the hard pinch is between the creek and me and where the hill comes up to the ridge. Oof. Which there is a path there. I'm watching him come in. And I'm like, all right. And so I'm worried about this deer catching my wind. So he's at this point, he's straight downwind coming to me. And I realize he's going behind my tree, so I have to spin around and shoot him. It'd be on, if I'm sitting in the tree, it's on my left side of the tree.
Yeah.
So I had my face mask over my mouth the whole time to try and like stop my breath scent. Because I didn't want him to catch wind of my breath.
Should chew that gum, bro.
So I still had my face mask on. Yeah. And I find out which way he's going. So I spin and draw, because it's like, big bucks, you take your opportunity. I draw, but my face mask is still on. I have too thick of a face mask to anchor. So I'm full draw. I yank my face mask down with my release hand while I'm at full draw. And then he's underneath me at 17 yards. And I go like a squirrel to try and get him to stop. Doesn't hear me. So I go a little loud because he was so close. I didn't want to go back. And because I knew he'd scatter.
Yeah.
And he stopped for like a split second. I squeezed through, and I'm not shitting you. It was the loudest pop I've ever heard of an arrow. It was like, I'm going to try and do this without killing the mic here. It just like sounded like someone shot a Mylar balloon. And to me, the shot looked a little far back, but he took off. He ran the side of the ridge, goes down the ravine, comes up the little knoll. And I lose sight of him, and everything's so wet from the rain that I couldn't hear if he crashed or what happened. And I'm looking. Never heard anything. So I'm like, fuck. Don't know what to do. So I called Austin Chandler, called my dad. I make my round of phone calls, call Cameron.
Yep.
And try to call you, but you're a piece of shit friend. And,
come on, dude.
Word. So,
I was at my kid's birthday party and I answered.
I lost my phone in my vehicle.
Excuse, bro.
If you've ever done that before, you'll have sympathy for me. But if you're a fan of this podcast,
the way you
use
your phone, there's no way,
dude.
Anyway, we're not talking about you losing your phone.
This ain't about me. This ain't about me. This is about Kurt shooting.
So I lose sight of him, and I'm like, fuck. Well, I hit him far back. I was like, but I heard that pop. That's like the diaphragm or lungs. But to me, it looked like liver. I didn't think it was far back and like gut. So there's more rain coming. Mm-hmm. I call Austin. He's like, Austin's hunting, I don't know, 30 minutes west of where I am. And I'm like, he's like, it's downpouring here. Like, it's coming your way. Yep. And I'm like, fuck.
Right in the storm.
What do you do?
Yeah. I would say, when you called me, I told you that. I was like, man, it just got done downpouring. I'm like, you got to do something.
So I sat there for a little bit, kind of gathered myself, strapped everything back in my pack, get down, and everything's so silent. My wind's perfect. Like, this deer didn't smell me after I shot him. He's not downwind to me now. The wind's still perfect, blowing over that creek. I shot him downwind, straight up downwind. Mm-hmm. Like, no bullshit, straight up downwind I shot this deer. And so I get down, grab my arrow, pass through. I knew it passed through him. Blood all over right where I shot him. And I'm calling, even though like I know, like I'm calling my buddies for like advice, like reassurance. And I'm like, well, if it was gut, I wouldn't have blood here right away.
Right.
And it wouldn't be this bright, pretty blood that you like to see. My arrow didn't smell like shit.
Yeah.
It had chunks on it, but not like shit chunks. I was like, ah, that looks like liver to me, kind of. But
yeah.
It wasn't liver blood.
Yeah.
It was like bright, good blood that you want.
So, and kind of explain to me, because if you listen to the podcast last week, I didn't find blood right away when I shot this deer. The deer before I did, there was blood right away with the arrow. What is the reason why you're finding blood? Is it the where
yeah, my arrow entered? Just zipped straight through him, which is your buck. It didn't go straight through him and stick in the ground.
Okay, so when it comes straight through, so you're finding that blood on the exit side.
Well, I'm finding it. I don't know at this point. Yeah, I'm assuming
so, you're assuming that's where it is.
I'm also in a tree, and I got a different angle than you.
Yeah, so I'm always curious about that. You know, why you see blood there, but not, you know.
Well, it could be a lot of reasons. At this point, though, I don't know where I hit him. I knew I hit him a touch back, but I knew it wasn't like smoke show. I didn't see him go down in front of me. He maybe went 65 yards to where I lost sight of him. So I get down, and I just stand at my arrow for like an hour and 20 minutes. I just sit there, and I'm like, fuck.
Jesus.
All the leaves are wet,
yeah.
So the blood doesn't look the way you want it to. It's like bloody water. It's like blood. It's like watery blood, I guess is a better way to explain it. So things are looking different than you're used to seeing. I'm like, thick, good, bright, bubbly lung blood on leaves, on dry leaves.
Oh,
you can't mistake that.
But it's not happening on water because it's just mixing different.
So, and it was weird because he was on like a steep ridge the way he ran, and I could see this deer like tucking the ridge like he was in a hurry to get the fuck out of there. So I stand in, I make some phone calls, I'm like asking advice, I'm like, oh fuck, I don't know what to do. So I give an hour and like 20 minutes, whatever it was, and I go to where the ravine flattens out, the first ravine, I'm like, look, and there's blood there, but not like, oh yeah, this deer's dead blood. It's quiet enough, and I called my dad. He gave me a rain. So you got rain coming in like 30 minutes, like downpour. I'm like, oh, great, you know?
Yeah.
So I get across that ravine a little bit, and I got my binos on me. I got my bow, I got my release, I got my rangefinder, everything I need to put another arrow in a deer if needed. And I get up to where the ravine flattens out, and I'm almost to the point where I lose sight of him, and the blood starts to pick up. It's starting to look like, oh, okay, this blood looks good. Mm-hmm. So I get to the point where I can sort of see into where he went, and I'm at the point where I lost sight of him. So I'm scanning with my binos, and man, I'm telling you, if you don't actively use a pair of binos, you need to invest and like start at $200 and work your way up from there. My Nikons, not a sponsor, have saved my ass more on finding deer and finding sheds more than you would ever believe, and save you walking. And I'm scanning this area, nothing. And it's starting to get kind of dark. I'm scanning.
The rain's coming in?
Not at this point.
Oh, is it getting dark?
It's starting to get dark. Like, I'm losing light. Like, it's going to get dark.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm scanning. I see a bunch of branches. And I look in. I'm like, who? And I thought I seen tines. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I look up, and I'm like, oh, shit. And look, I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, there, that's him. Like, I could see his right side of his rack sticking up, but to me, it looked like a weird-ass angle. I'm like, fuck, he's bedded.
Yeah.
So what I did was, on the knoll I was on, it's like an old log road. I slipped up super quiet. I have an arrow knocked and everything. I slipped up super quiet up the log road a little bit, trying to keep track of where he was. I went like 2 foot, scan, make sure I could still see his antlers. 2 foot, scan, make sure I can still see his antlers. Get up on the log road to the point where I can see his body. But his body is like laying on a log. I'm like, fuck, he might be bedded because he's belly down.
And so he looks upright.
He looks upright, kind of. So I see him. I see his body. I get to the point where I can see his body. So I'm coming downhill at him now. And I have an arrow knocked. I'm sneaking up on him, like getting ready to draw. So I get like 15 yards of him. I still can't really tell. And I grab a stick and whip it at him and hit his back, and he didn't move. So I was like,
oh
man.
He's done.
Like, I had that feeling. I wanted to video my recovery. but I didn't feel, I just didn't know.
You weren't, mm-hmm. you weren't confident.
And I knew he's a good chocolate rack, like 10, because I got to watch him come yeah. in for 15, 20 minutes, whatever right. it was.
Yeah, you know everything about this deer. Yeah. Who his mama was, who he follows on MySpace. Oh, yeah, you knew everything about him.
Yeah, Zanga. And then I get up on him, and I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I didn't, like, I got less emotional than my first one, but it was almost because I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
You know what yeah. I mean?
It's crazy. It's unbelievable.
Which, you know, yeah. Now that we'll bring up, I still have not seen those the videos of the first one.
Oh, yeah.
When you guys play them.
Anyway, like, so yeah. I get them, and when I did, I'm like, well, the shot was far back. And I posted the picture on, like, our Insta story of the shot. Look far back. I rolled him over. It's right behind the shoulder. So what happened was when I went to and I was in the zone, when I went to stop him, and he hopped over, there's a little log there, and he didn't hear me. Well, by the time I got to shoot him when he did stop, I think he had moved to where he was quartering away more than I realized, because I just was keeping it my pen on him. Mm-hmm. And then when he stopped, I put my arrow through him, not realizing he was quartering more than I expected, quartering yeah. away. And my arrow went in back and came out right behind the shoulder. And absolutely, he probably went 80 yards total.
Yeah.
80, yeah. Maybe, I'd be surprised if it was 90 yards.
Yeah. But, I mean, when a deer's trucking, I mean, you're talking about seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It took him 12 seconds to get to where he died.
Yeah.
It's just wild to think about. Everyone's like, oh, I killed him within 40 yards. But it's like, dude, if he still killed that deer within, like, 200 yards, 300 yards, like, that's still
if they're
feet.
Trucking.
If yeah. they're, yeah, if they're booking it, because how fast do you think a deer can move? Well, over 40 miles an hour, 50
fast,
miles an hour.
Fast.
They're moving, but, yeah, for him being, what, however close he said. So, yeah, he's done.
Yeah, so I couldn't believe it. I had some ground growth. He's just a beautiful really? 10 pointer. I knew he was big. He's almost touching that 150 mark. I thought he was 160 all day. Chandler saw him in person. He's like 158, 159. It's one of those deer that carries his frame huge. Like
yep.
those photos we took photos at night, and Cameron yeah. took photos with me the next day. There's no, like, photo magic where I'm, like, sitting way behind him. Like, he just no. carries his frame big.
Yeah, you're not taking a Steve Deer picture?
Yeah, we're not taking pictures of fork horns. But he just, his mass just wasn't there. But and thing is, guys, like, some of the guys that came over were great dudes. And, like, hey, what's that measure? Let's measure it. And I was like, I don't even want to measure him, really. I don't want to put a number on him because I don't want to be like, dude, I was so stoked. He's the second biggest buck I've ever shot. I think he's my prettiest deer I've ever shot. He's one of the biggest body deer I've ever shot. He was 280 pounds.
Which is insane. That was dressed.
Dude, that's 220 pounds bigger than the first deer I shot this year.
That live weight, 280.
Oh, that was live weight?
Yeah, live weight,
oh,
280.
Oh, you added.
How big was that doe that you shot last year?
I don't remember. I don't care, really. I don't remember.
You shot some big body deer.
So I get it, dude. I get him out, so I had to get some help. I gutted him in the dark by myself. That's what started downpouring on me. So what happened was I had to wait for help, and there's no way I was getting him out. So I cleaned him in the dark, and it starts to rain. It was like a dramatic scene. I'm like cleaning him in the dark. It's like downpouring on me. Well, I clean him. I can hear coyotes howling. I'm cleaning him. I'm like, well, I got to go and like get help to help me get this thing out of here. It might be an hour or two. Well, I don't know what to do because I don't want coyotes to get him. So I tagged him up. I tagged him up before I gutted him. And then what I did is I put my pack. I propped his head up against a tree. So when he did get rigor mortis, I could still take photos with him. I put my pack underneath his head, and I took my elite camo hoodie off and draped it over like where the mount cape would be. And I've already had him gutted, so I have his guts like 10 yards away. So I had human scent all over him, and it starts downpouring. I'm like, if coyotes get him, they're going to get that gut pile first.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, for sure.
So you hear that,
first.
Dan Matthews? Yeah. We need some new elite hoodies. Hey, you know I'm talking to you.
So anyway, we get him out of there, and oh man, we went home. The rain stopped, and oh, I can't even believe it, man. He's a beautiful buck. Celebrated, and
when you called me and you were telling me about the shot, and you were like, "Man, I just heard a pop, and it looked far back." I was like, "Well, do you smell gut?" And you're like, "No," I'm like, "There's no way that deer is alive. There's absolutely no way."
I knew no matter what he was going to be done, but I just was worried about the rain and the time frame
being
Sunday night. And
well, of course, it's got to be dramatic. It can't just be like, oh, yeah, it was clear and everything was easy.
So that was your first day of rutcation anyway, right? Or were you taking that Monday off anyway?
No. So.
Oh, okay.
I was originally supposed to take Thursday, Friday off, which would have been, what's today?
Fucking Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday.
So it would have a week
the
ago
The 8th
yesterday.
And 9th was supposed to be my rutcation, but yeah. I shot this buck on Sunday the 4th. And so what I did was I was up late. By the time I got home and settled down there, I didn't go to bed till 2:30 in the morning. So I took Monday off. I emailed them to work. I'm like, hey, I'm going to take a day of vacation on Monday instead of Thursday, and then I won't be in Friday. And we went in, and Cameron had the week off for vacation. And we're still in our rutcation. So he helped me get him down. We took some photos. We went to Loker Taxidermy, butchered him up, caped him out. Got him going, getting him mounted, and there we go. That's a wrap.
Damn.
I'm stoked, man. I've never been done this early, and I don't know what to do with my hands.
So why don't you go to, like, Indiana or another state like Wisconsin and go kill another buck?
I don't have any vacation days.
Hey, go on a weekend. Fuck it.
Nah, dude. I would like to, but...
Tell Brady Miller. Brady Miller's got thousands of deer on his farm. Be like, hey, I'm coming up Friday night. I'm going to kill on Saturday, drink beer on Saturday night, and head out Sunday.
I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to kill another whitetail this year. I've killed three.
How's it feel?
Amazing.
Feels good?
Fuck yeah, it does.
No pressure at all.
What are you going to do now? Are you going to videotape?
Yeah, I'm going to film Papa Dave. Hopefully this weekend, if not for sure, like in the future. I'm going to try and see if Sam wants to get out and try and put an arrow in one Saturday afternoon.
Dude, what if Sam puts an arrow in a 180?
I'd be stoked.
Dude, how fucking dope would that be?
Yeah. We're going to try. I got a ground blind all brushed in for her. We're going to see if we can't make something happen.
Have you hunted that ground blind yet this year?
Nope. I set it up Saturday and killed my buck Sunday afternoon.
Fuck, look at this thinking man. He's like, I'm going to... That's how, you know, Kurt knew he was going to get it done. He's like, I'm going to set this up Saturday, so when I kill Sunday, I ain't going to have to do shit until I got to bring her out to hunt.
What's funny is, like, my big thing is if you're not confident, things aren't going to work out for you. So, like, I like, kind of have
bullshit. I was not confident, and I got laid once.
Oh, God.
Yeah, once. That's the thing. Like, if you're confident, you get laid a lot more.
Maybe I do. Maybe I'm
my point being
you.
Is like, so Saturday night we had that carbon show and I was telling the guys about the story. I'm like, I'm going to go. I was like, all right, you guys got to get the fuck out of my house. I'm going to bed. I'm going to go out and kill that buck tomorrow.
Yeah.
I called Austin Chandler on the way down to the property and I was like, hey, I'm going in to kill that buck. I'm hopefully you're available because I might need help. And I called him after I shot it. He's like, you motherfucker. You called it.
So it's always funny, like, how
Doug Hood's like, you pointed at your home run before you hit it.
Dude. So we like there is something, and we joked about luck of the podcast, which we haven't done a whole hell of a lot of this year. Like, the luck of the podcast is fucking real. It's just, everybody needs to know that. When I told you were going to kill that buck, you told me let's double up this weekend. We did. Doug Schmidt, Porn Stash Doug, makes eerie predictions. Maybe next week you'll hear about an eerie prediction. But he's always creepy. Like,
didn't he predict your buck?
I don't know.
Is that
we'll
what
have
talking
to
about?
Wait. We'll have to wait.
But did he not?
He didn't predict my buck out, did he?
Oh, I don't know. We got to go review footage. Hey,
You were never brought up when we were making predictions because you'd already shot your buck.
I know he said you're going to buck out before. I don't know if we were recording though.
Yeah. Doug's predictions have been over the past 2 years fucking
weird.
Freaky, dude. It's like he's
Miss
like
Cleo.
Miss Cleo. Dude, he is called a couple of them. He called your buck. I think he called me shooting a buck. And it's just dude, it's fucking freaky.
The dude
but
knows it's weird.
When I said you were gonna shoot a buck, it happened. You told us. I don't know. I'm not gonna say we are supernatural, but we're the shit, dude. We know what's going on.
There's something about it.
We're the shit.
We're the Anunnaki.
Also, the difference is, like, excluding you, we hunt a lot. So
yeah.
Something's got to give eventually.
Bro, I'm just saying. Doug is Doug Schmidt. Porn stash.
No, there's
Doug.
Something there. I'm not denying that.
There is something there. How weird is that? Somebody go back and find out if Doug called Kurt's
I don't think
Kurt's
it was recorded,
out.
Man.
Find out. If it is, if you can find out, we'll send you some stickers.
The Douglas should probably know.
The Douglas.
Well, did I miss anything? I got them out, celebrated. I'm tagged out.
Yeah, you're tagged out.
Hey, started drinking.
If I had more vacation time, I'd be going out and trying to kill another, like another one in another state. But like, I don't know, man. I don't have any vacation time. I'm saving what sick days I have is going for ATA. You know, I got my bucks, man. I'm enjoying my time. I'm not getting greedy. I'm enjoying my bucked out and can hang with the wife and hang with the friends. Maybe drink some beers on the weekends. Get a little more hungover in November than I normally get to.
Work on the house.
Nah, fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that. Good dude. Man. Doing anything. Like, yeah, don't do shit that you wouldn't do during deer season.
I'm guiding now. I'm a guide. I'm a deer tracker and a cameraman.
Kurt hey. Guider.
That's clever.
That's clever. Like that?
How come we never thought about that before?
I don't know. Anyway, should we close her out there? I feel like we're drying up.
Dude, what else you got to add, dude? This is your fucking year. This is the first year in your life that you've ever been tagged out.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
And before a rut.
I mean, I've tagged out during the rut.
Before, I said.
Yeah, you just covered your ass.
Yeah. You like that? That was it.
Which technically it depends on what you call the rut then, dickbag.
Well, yeah, I guess the rut. Yeah, well, hold on.
This is my third time tagging out.
The rut has been over for weeks, according to Facebook, so.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're in lockdown on October
2nd. Yeah. That's why I shot mine over a freaking bean field.
They run it in ice. Yeah.
Not that story's coming.
They're
up.
Shedding already.
Oh, dude, I saw
hey,
two.
You did find a shed.
I saw
bro.
Two bucks. I saw two bucks fighting in the middle of a cornfield. Like, wait, dude, the corn's only like an inch and a half tall. What the fuck are you talking about, dude?
They're still in velvet.
Did I forget anything?
They're
like
rubbing nubs.
Your story was like just clean. I mean, there was nothing, no complications. You just went in there and you did it. Like everybody dreams.
Yeah, man. That's what I think was hard to like wrap my head around it.
Yeah.
Like the first book this year got really emotional because I was like, he came in, I shot him, he went down right in front of my face.
Yeah. I came over when
way
he
to
had
brag,
that buck in the back and you just like, yep, man, there he is. He's like,
hey,
here's
there
a beer.
Boy.
And I was like, fucking A, bro.
I did get pretty emotional like when I walked up on him, but like it was like a, it was more of like a, oh my gosh.
Yeah. It just is,
rather than like a teary emotional.
Yeah.
All right.
It was like an overwhelming like excitement.
Oh, hey, I know something you forgot. You and Tank love Bud Light Orange now for some
dude.
Goddamn reason.
Hey.
Dude.
I kind of am embarrassed that I love it so much.
Yeah.
I remember
you
when
really
I was
don't need to talk about this.
Dude, when I was coming over Saturday before we shot that buck, I'm like, hey man, I'm gonna come over, you need me to grab some beer. You're like, all right, grab some Bud Light Orange. I go, the fuck did you just say in my ear? And you go, hear me out. Me and Tank practiced on Monday, and we were drinking this, and it was embarrassing how
Why?
Much we liked it.
Why did we do it?
Pick up some Bud Light Orange. Who decided?
Just, it was me. I saw.
No
it was a. I did a panic buy. So like I was in Casey's. I'm like, and grabbed it and just like, let's try this. Fuck it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I just grabbed it. I don't know why. There's like no rhyme or reason. Yeah. I was just like, I don't know. I've heard it's good. And I'm like, oh, let's just go for it. It's flavorful.
It's good.
Whatever. I guess.
Hey, listen, I can drink whatever I want. I'm tagged out.
Yeah, because if you enjoy it, well, hey, if you enjoy it, you shoot big deer, apparently.
There's a bottle of something right in front of you.
Bird Dog Whiskey. Why don't you take a little shot?
No. That's too manly. He doesn't
Get let's
that.
Shit on him a little.
Zima, shut up! I will take a shot of Bird Dog if Tank shoots a big buck.
Better take a shot of Bird Dog, son.
Is that foreshadowing?
Is that foreshadowing? Is that do I need to take a shot now or next episode?
Did you buy Bird Dog whiskey because your dog's on the bottle?
Tank, my dogs are
give
always
me that
on
fucking
the
whiskey. Yeah, give
dude,
me that.
My dog will steal beer from you.
Give me that.
That's kind of awesome. All right,
don't take a big swig. All right.
Shut up.
Son of a bitch.
Dude, we never drink Hen Dog, dude. You guys, you remember that bet that we said we're going to put that that fucking bottle of Henny if I shot a buck up there? We still need to celebrate that bottle of Hen Dog.
We need to get a liquor shelf.
We do.
You could hear him smell them and then smell it and then drink that. How is it? What kind of whiskey is it?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's good.
Is it a bourbon?
Shit.
It's not a bourbon.
No, it's straight up whiskey.
I'm not a bourbon fan, and like half our listeners just like keeled over backwards.
Bourbon, you have to make it in like within a county or some shit.
Yeah. So well,
no,
that is,
taste.
I'm going to have a celebration sip. So this is Bird Dog Kentucky Blended Whiskey, 80 proof. I like the bottle.
Hey,
though.
I bet Doug Hood would still be standing if he chugged that.
I can't say bottle
for
Doug
Western
Creek.
Spirits by Three Springs Bottling Company, Bowling Green, Kentucky.
I'll admit the only reason I bought that was because I have bird dogs.
The bottle's pleasing to hold.
Hey, you know what a bird dog is in prison?
Oh God!
Don't tell us.
All right, well, you need to watch more Lockup.
I also tried Famous Grouse. Not a fan of the Famous Grouse.
Is it the same people?
I think I tried that once. I don't know.
Whiskey or bourbon?
My homie owns a whiskey bar.
Man, this doesn't. I'm not a whiskey guy.
Just take a sip.
I can only drink whiskey in a mixer anymore.
Kind of smells like honey.
Yeah, it's delicious.
It's better than Wild Turkey.
It's got a really heavy caramel flavor, which I like in a whiskey. Here you go. Like a fucking white trash chugging.
It's not terrible.
It's a $20 bottle of whiskey. I don't even think it's
Kurt, you chug whiskey out of a bottle like every white trash Mac Miller fan. I just noticed that.
What does that even mean?
Dude, because you're like, yum, yum, yum. Dude, you took like three gulps. No,
what? Were you even here, bro?
What? I literally just
I
watched
it. I tasted them. It. Yeah. Take that. Don't spill it on the mixer. I might have some problems.
What do you think of it? You
like this podcast sound better.
We need to find a whiskey that we like. We need a whiskey for us.
Yeah, we need a whiskey shelf, man. We can have a whiskey shelf in here.
We need that proper 12.
We can get Bird Dog proper 12. I want to get Yellow Wolf's Creek Water in here.
That's right. I want to find that.
All right, we'll wrap her up. We're talking about whiskeys instead of big bucks. I'm tagged
out. All right, well, congratulations to you, dude. You fucking killed it this year.
Thank you, sir.
Papa.
What's my name? Tank? Steve?
Tank, what's his name?
See what the whiskey did to me? Fucking switch roll.
Wait, Jesus you thought Christ. I was your son?
You wish I was your son.
God damn it, I do. Fuck, I do. Man, I went and helped pull a deer out for a guy yesterday, and I didn't even have to gut it for him.
Yeah, say it, Steven.
Oh, don't say Steven. Oh, God, dude, you are the favorite son. Thank you, Daddy.
Steven?
Shut the fuck up. Steven. Get the fuck out of here.
Steven, are you going to go hunting and kill another buck and buck out with me?
Yes, Daddy.
All right.
Oh, why did I say it?
Okay, big shout out.
Say it, Tank. Say it, Tank. Are you going to buck out with Daddy?
I'm going to buck yes, out. Daddy.
Say yes, Daddy.
Don't do this.
You made it so weird.
I did not. Where did this podcast go?
Straight to hell.
Yeah.
Speaking of hell, check out East Coast Bowhunting Podcast. If you're not listening to Working Class Bowhunter, you need to be listening to them. Shout out D-Rock, man. Love you. Go shoot your bow. We're out of this, bitch.
I'm Will Cooper, host of HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from HuntStand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.